The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
4 minutes after 8 o'clock. Good morning. Welcome. I'm John Caldera. So glad to spend some time with you. I love it when George is gone. It's just you and me. We get to talk. We never spend time together like this. You're never cool. You're never right. What's the matter? You don't have time? You got time for everybody else. You don't have time for me? Give me a call. 303-696-1971. Ay, caramba. We were talking a little bit about this poll, about people not feeling like the next generation has a chance to be as happy as you. I found that interesting. This poll, Wall Street Journal poll, did it with NORC. I forget what polling company that is. At the University of Chicago. And this poll was actually done just before the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, which I'm sure has shaken a lot of folks. When asked about your financial situation, 17% of us feel our finances are in better condition than what we expected for this stage in our life. 39% of us say, no, they're about where we expected. And 44% of us say our finances are in worse condition than where we expected. There wasn't a category for dolts like me who go, I hadn't thought about where I should be at this point in my life. That's where there ought to be a special thing of, huh? That the huh stage. That there ought to be that huh. This is a beautiful thing about being a guy. Is. I'm just delighted with the differences between the way men and women think. Basically, women, from my observation, women think that men think. So I'm 58 years old, and on rare occasion, I go out on a date. I know it surprises people. There are nearsighted, charitable, desperate women who occasionally will go out on a date with me. It's just spectacular. And they actually think that men we get into these conversations, and they think that men think about the future. They actually think that men are thinking about things. Like, what's going to go on in the years ahead? And how do we plan for this? And, you know, no. No. They don't seem to understand. Men's mind, you know, basically, a man's mind can be graphed on a simple XY axis. You just put a graph it, an XY graph. One axis is food. The other one is sex. And you can plot somewhere along that graph where we're thinking. Yeah, it's a horny, hungry graph. That's it. That's pretty much where most men are most times. And if not, we want to watch TV. No, that's it. It's a wonderfully simple way to live. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. But women, from my decades of study and sophisticated modeling, apparently women think about things like where they're going to live in the future and how they're going to pay their bills and will they be happy and will they die alone and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's all connected. Oh, it must be so very, very tiring. Oh, my God. And because they think in these never-ending circles, they seem to believe, now listen up, gentlemen, this is bizarre, they seem to believe men also think this way. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? Isn't it? Anyway. So on these rare occasions that I go out on a date, women ask me things like about the future. And I answer as honestly as I can, which is, well, I think I'm going to go home and, you know, probably make a sandwich. And, trying to remember where the remote control is. Sometimes I can't find it for a while. Once it got stuck behind the cushions in the couch. Oh, man, was that a story. Let me tell you all about it. You know, that's where my brain goes. And they... Anyway, back to this thing. Financial situation. So, are my finances better or worse than I expected? I didn't expect anything. It's the beauty of being a guy. Having absolutely, positively, no expectations. It's what's wonderful about my son. Again, my son has Down syndrome, and he is the reincarnation of John Belushi. If you've ever seen Animal House, he's Blutarsky. That's him. And I'll feed him breakfast. And he'll be eating breakfast. And during breakfast, all he'll ask is, when lunch? When lunch? When lunch? He used to call me Dad. And then for about 3 years, he called me Father, which I loved. Father, when lunch? When lunch? Now he just calls me John. John, when lunch? John, when lunch? When lunch, John? John, when lunch? And then when he's shoveling down lunch, John, when dinner? When dinner? And that's basically exactly what men think. That is basically how far ahead in the future the male brain can leap forward. We can envision that there is a, we know there's a future. All right. We men, we know the future is going to happen. All right. We know this is going to happen. We know there are clocks. We know there are clocks and we know the time changes on the clock. We know that the clock had a time in the past, and there will be a time in the future, and therefore something is going to happen in the future. And in the future will either be food, a sporting event, a concert, or maybe some sexual activity. That we know that's going to happen. That's about it. Women think in the future, there'll be children, marriage, grandchildren, homes, vacations, retirement, more homes, more grandchildren, retirement, parenting. I don't know what they think. Anyway, they different thing. So these polling questions of what do you think about the future? It must be women they talk to. Because men go, what do you think about the future? And most men will think, I don't know, maybe a hamburger, steak if I can find one. That's what men think. And if they feel confident about the future, it means, yeah, I went shopping yesterday. I think we've got food for tonight. That's what men think. Do you feel comfortable about the future? Do you feel confident about the future? Do you feel good about your kids' future? I don't. And I've got exceptional children. This question was also interesting. It compared it to answers from 2000. Would you describe the state of the nation's economy these days as fill in the blank? Let me try that again. Would you describe the state of the nation's economy these days as question mark? Well, in 2000, 80%, well, let's call it 75%, described that as excellent or good. Let me say that again. 75% of Americans said back in 2000 that the economy was excellent or good. Whereas 25% said, poor, not so good. The poll that just came out, again, Wall Street Journal said 80% say poor, not so good. 20% said excellent. 80% of us say the state of our nation's economy is poor, not so good. Yeah, they feel it. They feel it. In fact, they've been feeling it now for the last 15 years, that it hasn't been all that great. Talk about the malaise. And people are not that happy. That's really too bad. What a shame. What a shame. All right, let's grab a couple of calls. Let's go to the phones, 303-696-1971. Let's talk to John. Good morning, John. You're with John Caldera. Glad to have you.
Good morning. I think the next generation is maybe better, but I think they're going to be fundamentally different. I was born in 51, played baseball every day, and as soon as the television came out and there was a screen that changed my behavior. On Saturday morning, I watched cartoons instead of playing baseball. And I think the screen time that my daughter and my grandchildren spend so much time, I go to visit them and they're all staring at their screens. So I walk the dog around the block and they're all sitting watching. We went from a nation of doing something to watching something. And I think that it fundamentally changes our brain, our attention span is diminished, and Rita, they don't do anything. They're not active relating to other people face-to-face is getting to be an antiquated mode of communication.
Let me push you on that. Let me challenge you on that. Is it bad or is it just different? And let me push it this way. You see it as bad, and I might agree, but is it that they're looking at their screens, but they're communicating with people through screens? They're doing social media, they're creating media and putting it on TikTok and other things. They're active. They're not physically active, but they're mentally active. They're digesting information. They're communicating back. They're receiving different communications. They're learning things in different ways. Yeah, there's a lot of goofy stuff that we don't understand. But they're also receiving information in ways we couldn't receive before. Is it just that we're old guys and we just don't quite get it?
I think you're right. I just don't get it. I don't have a smartphone, but my 95-year-old mother stares at her phone all day long, flipping through one just constantly flipping, and she just sits there in her chair staring at her phone, and she doesn't do anything anymore. So it might be, it's more efficient. I know our movements in business are more efficient, but you can't even interact with the building department in Denver without going online. So if you're not apt in the new communication through the iPhone, you're out. You're antiquated. You're left out in the cold.
Yeah, really. If you're not connected through a smartphone, you are hobbled today. You cannot.
Exactly.
You cannot scan a QR code. You cannot book things. If you're not tech literate, you're walking through life with one hand tied behind your back.
It's inefficient.
Yeah.
The way I do things, I have to go there physically, talk to a person. And my daughter, she is so apt on her smartphone. She can take care of business like that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you think about it. Somebody sends me a check. I don't leave the house. I just take a picture of the check and it's deposited in my bank. You know, where before I had to go to the bank. I've got to pay the babysitter. I just Venmo her the money. Bam, it's there. You know, life gets...
No more checkbook. Yeah.
Life can be...
Inefficient.
Yeah, life can be really fast, but life can also be very impersonal and very cold.
Inconvenient.
On the other side, you know, I need to go someplace, and I don't have a car. I can get an Uber right then and there. What's so odd
I still use the Yellow Pages. That's antiquated. And you can't find Yellow Pages anymore.
So think about how ridiculous the Yellow Pages are to chop down a bunch of trees, use a bunch of ink, throw them at people's houses when you could just do it electronically through a computer. Here's the sad part about technology. Is that older folks who are masters of the analog age can use their hands beautifully.
Yeah, I'm a master electrician.
Right, but cannot handle the subtleties of the digital age. How to work through computer windows and fill out forms on screens and go through windows on computers. People who are older, their lives. If they could magically understand technology, their lives would be so much better because they could order up Uber and Lyft and have mobility where they might not have mobility. They could order food and groceries to their doorstep. They could have all their deliveries made to their doorstep. They could have
access
people
to
come.
The world.
Yeah, the whole world could come to them as their mobility starts to limit them. But because they're not tech savvy, it's harder for them to do it. They don't have to go to the bank. The bank comes to them. They don't have to go to the grocery store. The grocery store comes to them. They don't have to go to the pharmacy. The pharmacy comes to them. But it's harder because older folks are just not tech savvy, and it's a lot harder for them to understand what it is they're looking at in the screen. In the same way, though, people who are younger have no tactile feel for the real world. I was trying to teach a young guy how to drive once. He was like 15, 16, and he broke a mirror on my car. I was like, "Don't worry, but you're gonna help me fix it." We ordered up the part, and he was great on a computer. And I said, "All right, here we go. You're gonna install this mirror for me." Okay. So go pick up a Phillips screwdriver. He said, "All right, which one is a Phillips?" Like slapping my forehead. Oh, my God. And He couldn't unscrew the screw. He couldn't pull it out. He could not react in the physical world. So yep. that, I mean, the kid couldn't screw a screw. And am I thinking, oh my God, you know, am I the last generation who can, you know, who can tighten a washer on a sink, you know, or run a wire and put a wire nut on something? And it might be right. the same way, the way that older folks are frustrated with technology. Kids don't know how to replace a light switch. And it's just, that's just terrifying. So the same frustration old people have with technology, young people have the same frustration, you know, trying to fix their vacuum cleaner. It's silly.
I have this old fashioned flip phone, and my granddaughter said, "Let me see your phone, Grandpa." And she says, "How do you do anything on this?"
Yeah.
I do is dial the phone. I don't send texts. I just call people on the phone. She was amazed that I could get by in today's society with this flip phone. So
yeah,
you're right.
Hard.
It's like not being able to read in the beginning of the century. If you couldn't read, you were left out.
Right. And so young people look at your flip phone and, you know, what they see is, you know, the old phone that was on the wall and had the hand crank on the side. You know, it's
right,
like
rotary phones.
Right. It's like, well, all I do, I'm just an old guy. I make phone calls. And for a kid, a phone call is like one of the very few things they do on this magic box. This is a computer that I book my flights, I connect with people, I text, I do research, I listen to music, I watch movies. Oh, and every now and then, I make a phone call to Grandpa. That's
right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's like a tool. It's like a tool to function.
Well, hey, I got to run. Thanks for the call. Got to run. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it right here. 710 KNUS. Oh, good morning. What a morning. I'm John Caldera. I am loving spending time with you. Thank you for putting up with me, because really, that's what you're doing. And I love that. I love that, and I'm grateful for it. So we've been talking about this poll that comes out, and they do these long-term polls, which are really fun. Some pollsters and some polling companies will ask the same questions over time and get a sense of the nation, you know, over generations sometimes. How are you doing, America? Well, America's pretty pessimistic right now. The one that scares me is that we're more pessimistic about our kids' future. And I bet you are too. And it hasn't always been that way. In 1990s and early 2000s, we were much more optimistic. Right now, we're much more pessimistic. Economically pessimistic. Well, we should be. When you're cruising towards central planning, when you're cruising towards socialism, when you're cruising towards a devalued currency, you better be scared. When you're cruising towards a regulatory state and overtaxation, you ought to be nervous. Let's go to the phones. 303-696-1971. Scott, welcome. You're with John Caldera. Glad to have you.
The pleasure is mine to listen to you, by the way. I wanted to kind of go back to, you're talking about your son, you know, eating breakfast and then going, when's lunch?
When lunch? John, when lunch, you know, he says.
And I think he said something about that's kind of man, you know, that's what
man brain.
You know, a man would do. And I think it goes back to the actual existence of man because, you know, in the back at the start, we were always producing, hunting, you know, the food. So we have to be, you know, completely aware of time when we're hunting and, you know, and actually producing products, mainly, you know, animals back then, I guess, you know, for our dinners and lunches. And I think it's just, it might be something, I know your son's probably in a different wavelength than we are. And it's really cool to kind of hear you talk about it. My son's got a stepson, and he's autistic, and he can't make a full sentence, but everything's kind of a word for him. And it's like we go to the DU hockey games, and he sees McDivitt written on the side of the Zamboni.
Right.
You know, and
McDivitt Law Firm, right.
Yeah, and he'll hit only things. He only comes up with those new things about every other game we go to, you know, but he's always hitting at least three of them, McDivitt, you know, Safeway, whatever he sees on the screen. And he hits those three for a game. And then the next game, he'll see something else and hit it. And another thing that's really cool is at one time he was going off on countries. So I would say Finland and he would say, Italy, and then I would say Germany, and he would say England, and it was just amazing.
Oh, how fun!
You know, he knew as autistic and unrelating he could do, and you know, in a complete sentence. At the same time, he could think that wavelength of countries. You know, and it wasn't because I just said a word, like he sees in, you know, written McDivitt. But it's actually kind of a conversation with them. And he knows all these countries. And yet he can only say three or four words at a hockey game. It blows my mind. He's so cool.
You know what? There's such a difference between kids with Down syndrome and autistic kids, although they're kind of put in the same category. What's fascinating about my son who has Down syndrome is intellectually, he's very delayed. What we used to call retarded, which is a fine word, and I wish it is now treated like the N-word, which I don't know why. It's out of favor. It's a fine word. But my son is just full of joy, full of happiness, and he's very expressive. It's hard to understand, but I can get most of what he says. And he lives in the moment. He would be a perfect Buddhist, you know, and so therefore he's kind of the perfect man brain because men are simple. I know this drives women crazy, and pardon me for being such a sexist, misogynist bastard, but we are. And women, I think, have more developed brains. They can see into the future. They worry about things all the time because I think they're smarter than us. And because our minds can work on multi levels, my little brain can only think about one thing at a time. I don't know about you. As a single dad, you know, I have two little kids and they're yelling at me. And most of my time was saying, "Dad can only do one thing at a time, one thing at a time." So I'm pouring milk right now. After I pour milk, then I'll make you a sandwich. You know, I can't do much. And so when he's doing one thing at a time, he is loving doing one thing at a time. And
yeah.
And so when he's saying, you know, when dinner, you know, that's what he's looking forward to. It's like, man, and he's a teenager, he's 18. He's like, man, food, bring me food. Food is joy. Food is great. And he's so fun. He's just a party. And it's just so wonderful. So I think about, I just love, I love the battle of the sexes. I just love the differences between men and women. It makes the world wonderful. And so I think about people worrying about the future. And when you have kids, you worry about the future. If it weren't for kids, men wouldn't worry about a thing. We have no concerns. Men are stupid. We are happy. We are just, we're like dogs. You know, we're just, we are so happy. And then kids come along and they force us to think about the future. Without kids, we would just be stupid and happy and playing games all day long and eating and watching football games. And then kids come along and we have to go, ugh, we better talk about monetary policy. No, 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 no. We need to talk about education. No, no, no. Kids ruin everything.
Yeah, your pocketbook. Yeah. Especially if you get them into hockey like I did. But, you know, you're talking about how we're feeling right now. I'm 66. I'm almost constantly in an atmosphere of seniors. I live in a senior place. I play golf in a senior league. And it's amazing, it's scary to me that so many of them have kind of given up on the society. And they start saying things like, my mom did this, you know, I'm glad I'm checking out soon.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're so done with it. These are people whose kids are gone, and they're probably providing for themselves at this time because they're – kids are probably in their 30s, but then they're thinking of themselves, and a lot of them just say, I'm glad I'm checking out.
Your mom says, I'm glad I'm checking out, do you mean she's glad I'm no longer parenting, or does she mean the world's going crazy, I'm glad I'm not going to live too much longer?
It's the second completely. It's and granted, she was kind of a news freak, but you know,
no, that's fine. I mean, I get it. Yeah. And is it that she's glad she's checking out because the world is so upside down and the world is crazy, and it's like, I've had enough of this. And I'm, to be honest, I get this. Or is it that she's physically in discomfort? Because I know, I remember my father kind of getting into that point where it's like, you know, I've had enough of the physical pain and tiredness of being old, and it's like, I'm ready to go. Those are two different things. So let me ask it a little differently.
Yeah.
Are there people who are going, I'm glad I'm close to the end of my life because the state of affairs of the world are such that I don't want to see this anymore? Or is it what happens when anyone gets older, and it's just that life is physically tiring now, and I'm ready for my ultimate rest?
Well, you just hit two of them that reasons that I hear a lot, because like myself, I'm in constant pain, arthritis, so on and so on. But I try to keep my mind active, and I do like the senior golf league, so I get activities. I know some men do nothing after they've retired. Some even go back to work because they can't sit around doing nothing. So there are people that I hang around with that are in kind of a situation like mine where they want to check out because they can't take the pain, or they're, you know, constantly going into the doctor and the hospital for various things. Yeah, but the other one is like my mom, that is, I've seen enough, I've had enough of this world turning upside down, our country being ruined by socialists, the press. When I was growing up, John, I remember the propaganda press when we were talking about Russia, that they had a propaganda you know, news, and now we have it. I mean, if you take all the you know, the LSDs and the CNNs and all those, they are so propagandist. Almost like I was, you know, back when I was in my 20s, hearing people talk about Russia's press.
Right.
And ours has turned into that.
Getting back to it, the idea that people want to check out, there's several different reasons, which is the idea of giving up. Let me go through a couple levels of it. You know what I'm talking about, and let me give it a shot. I know people who are giving up on Colorado. I've had family members who go, that's it, I'm out. I think about, have you ever played blackjack or something, and the dealer does this weird thing with his hands when they change dealers? They kind of do this thing with their hands, and they go, that's it, I'm out, time for the new dealer to come. That's what I think of when the government here gets so tired, does some stupid anti-gun thing or whatever your regulatory thing, and somebody in the industry goes, all right, I've had it, does the hand thing, and they move out of town. They go to Texas, they go to Florida, they go to Wyoming. They go to some place where they can be left the F alone. And so there's that part of, I'm out of here. There's the part of the world getting crazy, and you're old enough, and you go, you know what? That's it. I'm out. I'm not paying attention to politics anymore. I'm going to take what little bit of money I have and find a corner of the universe and just enjoy my life, enjoy my grandkids, and wait until God calls. Some people, if they are free enough and footloose enough, say, I'm out of the country. I know a guy. He and his partner have moved to, I think, Singapore. They found a little spot. They said, you know, we don't have a whole lot of money, but we can live here pretty darn well and retire-ish in Singapore. And that was them doing this whole, you know what, I'm out. And it's kind of interesting, that whole you win, I'm gone. And it in the big world of Atlas Shrugged, of people going, you know what? I don't have to live by your rules. I just won't play. It's an interesting thought. Hey, I got to run to a break. Scott, thanks. What a wonderful conversation. I really appreciated chatting with you. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera in for the big man. Keep it right here, 710 KNUS. Is this Kiss? All right, so they wore their makeup, and then they took their makeup off, and then they put their makeup back on. Huh. Oh, if I remember right, Billy, you would probably know the ins and outs of this one, if anyone did. They sold a ton of records, and they had a whole bunch of gold, silver, platinum, uranium-238, you know, whatever radioactive records they had, because you got the gold albums by how many records were distributed, not necessarily sold. So I believe they got a whole bunch of records, albums went platinum, double platinum, triple platinum, because they had their record label pump these things out. And then they ended up in the cutout bins.
Oh, see, that there's kind of a thing that goes on in the pro wrestling business like that. And what they try to do is they try to get a full house. So if you don't have full seats, they go out and they give away a lot of tickets. And in the industry, it's called paper.
Yeah, papering the house. Yep, they do the same thing in concerts
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Yep, you paper the house. And the same thing is happening with books right now. You want to know why everybody who's releasing a book suddenly has an Amazon or New York Times bestseller? It's because many times they're connected with an organization that goes and buys hundreds or thousands of those books and then gives them away for free. But those count as sales. So even if you're left with 5,000 used books in a back office somewhere after you've purchased all of them, you still got your bestseller and you still can advertise.
And the cutouts were so great. I love the cutout bins because they were discounted. For those who don't have to explain what records are to young people, but you go to the record store and you flip through, and then they would have the cutouts. And the cutouts, you cut out the corner of the record showing that they were cutouts or discontinued or somehow discounted. And that way, they instead of sending the record back, they would sell it at a discount. In bookstores, they would do the same thing by ripping off the cover of paperbacks and just sending the cover back. And then they were supposed to destroy the book, which they never did. All right, back after this. I'm John Caldera. Keep it here. You're on KNUS.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.